werk van Go & Tell wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door onze donateurs. Geniet jij ook van mijn boodschap? Help ons dan deze over de wereld te verkondigen en word donateur. Ga naar goandtell.nl, want met jouw hulp kunnen we nog meer mensen bereiken.
Binnenkort komt het nieuwe boek van Joyce de Vos uit. De titel? Dan maar zo. Een persoonlijk en eerlijk verhaal over de verlammende effecten van faalangst. Geen zelfhulpboek dat je van alle ongemakken afhelpt, maar een uitnodiging om je imperfecte ik heldhaftig in de ogen te kijken. Dan maar zo. Nu als pre-order te bestellen in onze webshop. Ga naar goandtell.nl/webshop. Wees succesvol, dat houdt de wereld je voor. Gelukkig ligt het bij God anders. Of denken wij als christenen eigenlijk net zo over? David en Joyce praten hierover met Richard en Debbie van der Kolk van Hillsong Amsterdam. In deel 1 van Identiteit.
Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in, thank you for listening. I'm right here live in the studio together with my wonderful wife Joyce. And we have special guests, our dear friends Richard and Debbie from Hillsong Amsterdam. We're so blessed to have you guys.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. And the topic we're going to talk about together is identity. I think it's a big issue when we look to the church, when we look to Christians. Many think they have found their identity by maybe behaving the right way. But, you know, that's one of the biggest accusations against the church is that people say they act a certain way and then they don't. And I think it's something that needs to be addressed. And it might be even a whole lot different than that we think it actually is.
Yeah.
And of course, we've already been talking all morning. And we said, you know, it would have been so awesome if the cameras would have been on.
Yeah.
But right now, we just want to dive into the conversation that we already had. And I would just want to ask you, Richard, just to start with your journey, finding your true identity, the moment you actually got stuck and surrendered to actually the God way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Could you just take us there?
Yeah, I think I was a little bit stubborn in my surrendering. I became a Christian when I was about 26, but my whole life had been about performing, achieving, and getting my identity out of what I did. Mm. And so I felt like, you know, if I performed well enough, if I achieved well enough, if I in my career or in my finances or in whatever, if I could achieve well enough, then I would be a success. If I was successful, then I would be a success. Mm. And I brought that into Christianity. I got saved, and then I started entering into ministry, and it was still the same. I felt like I had to achieve, and it was so. I want to say funny. It wasn't funny at the time, but
it's painful.
It really was painful.
Yeah.
So I started failing. So I started working for the church in ministry and then started failing. And because I was getting my identity out of my achievements, now as I failed, I became a failure to myself.
Yeah, failure became your identity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I went on this downward spiral, what I think it's probably commonly called burnout.
Mm.
And
I've been there.
Yeah.
Bought the t-shirt.
Yeah. And I don't know, it was, yeah, for me, it was really difficult. And I got to this place where I really hit rock bottom.
Mm.
And I remember reading the scripture, I think it's Galatians 2:20, which says that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, thank God, because I am useless. Thank God it's not about me who lives in me, but it's about Christ who lives in me. And that my future, because I lost all hope in my dreams, all hope in my future, because I was a failure. And I thought, if I can't handle what I'm doing now, there's no way I can handle what I'm dreaming of in the future.
Yeah.
And so I'd lost hope. I'd lost my sense of value, my sense of worth. And when I got that revelation, and it was really together with the revelation of God's grace, that God gives what we don't deserve, and that it's no longer I who's useless who live, but it's Christ who lives in me, and it's what God does for me that is going to determine my future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when I relied on God's grace towards me and God's power and God's will, when I relied on that for my future, then I started to understand the gospel.
Yeah.
And then it was a journey of learning how to live in that
gospel.
Yeah.
But it's a funny thing because the gospel is truly the opposite of what we learn when we grow up.
Yeah.
You know, when we grow up, exactly. I mean, you come from another background than we do, but we have the same things.
Yeah.
You know, if you behave well in school, you get the right grades.
Yeah.
You get the right compliments. If you fail, you're punished.
Yeah.
And that same message is actually being preached in the church.
Yes.
It's you know, just generally, not with your guy, in your church, you have a different message now, a different approach.
Yeah.
But it's not weird that people get stuck because they take, you know, whatever they're carrying, their whole lives, and take that into their relationship with God as it is something that we, when we do right, we deserve right.
Mm.
But the opposite is true. God gave us the right thing because of Jesus.
Yeah.
And learning to focus on that is an entire different view of living.
Yeah.
But it sets you free. It's like this big load of expectations and everything just falls from your back.
It's so true.
Well, when you were in the middle of that burnout situation, I'm quickly thinking of my own because I've been there. And then I also always know that for Joyce, it was hard as well. So I'm wondering, Debbie, what happened to you in that very moment? Richard got stuck.
Well, it was quite interesting because in the UK at that time where we were living, it was never spoken about. Like burnout was not even a thing. You soldiered on.
Mm.
So it was just, you know, you get up, you go to work, and you. You
wasn't even
on
an option.
No,
because here everyone talks about burnout.
Yeah.
But in England, in the UK, in London where we were, no one really spoke about the word burnout wasn't really a common term.
No, not at all. And so it's like, okay, well, let's just keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a season and it will get better. Let's keep on going.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. You know, we would get up and we would go to set up and we'd be there until pack down for church and then get up on Monday morning and go to work. And at that point, you know, I worked in finance. I worked in an asset management company and volunteered for church, and we just kept on going. And it was difficult, but it was, you know, and I remember Richard saying to me, you know, and he's like, I can get myself out of this.
Mm.
I just need to be in the Word an hour a day, and I can get myself out of this. And I'm thinking, okay, but didn't Jesus do it?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, okay, see ya. And I gotta go to work, you know?
Yeah. Good luck in the Word all day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but he would get up and he would go to work, and, you know, because having time off wasn't even an option. And just kept on soldiering on.
I remember sitting I was at my desk looking out the window, and I had all this stuff that I had to do. And I remember thinking, I was there for hours.
Yeah.
It's like I was paralyzed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was all this stuff I had to do, but I didn't know where to start. I couldn't start. It was crazy.
Well, the thing, you know, what I really think is a great help for everybody watching and listening, recognizing themselves in a similar situation, is that you say it's temporary. It's a journey. It's not the end of your journey. It's something you can pass through. It's something you can overcome.
Yeah.
And you have to surrender on what is happening to you, but you must tell yourself, never give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can rest, but giving up is another thing.
Because when you give up, you stay there.
There you go.
That's right.
You're camping at that moment, and then that becomes the thing.
And your identity may be in the end.
Yeah. And so in 50 years' time, you're still in that point.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you actually need to get to the end of the rope.
Yeah.
To discover that you can't do it on your own anymore, and that you need something.
So true. And for me, that's like you were talking about surrendering.
Mm.
For me, that's what I think was my stubbornness, is I kept on thinking, I can do this.
Yeah.
And because I think that whole thought of performing or getting what you deserve, it's the way of the world, but it's also the way of religion without Jesus.
Yeah.
And you see it in the Bible, you see it in the New Testament. The writers of the New Testament are always talking about the difference between a gift and wages.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a gift of righteousness. You know, it's this the gift of the Spirit, the gift of salvation. Yeah. They're all gifts,
yeah.
And it's you can't earn it.
No. Yeah. So how did you make that change? Because you just told us that the very place you ended up, and your eyes were open, and you surrendered to that.
Yeah.
And how does it practically work, like every day? Focusing on those things instead of your brokenness, or just, you know, being human, making your everyday mistakes, and how does it give you victory in your everyday life?
Well, I would, especially in the early days, I would quite often just go back to, it's no longer I that live, which is the surrender part, right?
Yeah.
But there's a victory part too, which is the Christ in me.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I remember in the beginning, I would spend a lot of time just thinking about how what God gives and how God loves, and God is a generous God.
Yeah.
And I would almost think of it like sunshine. Like for me personally, I would almost, if you go out into the sunshine in summer, you feel the warmth.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything for it.
It's there.
It's there. Yeah. You just stand there.
Yeah.
And so I would, it was almost like a mental exercise, right? But I would sort of think, God loves me. God's love is for me. He loves.
Mm.
So love comes from, I don't need to do anything. I can just receive it.
Mm.
So I would think about God's love that was for me, God's grace that was towards me. And I would just be thinking about those things. And I'm a bit of a teacher. I'm sort of wired that way. But I think God gave me this, maybe it's like an analogy, where I was thinking about how, imagine if we were all in a classroom at university, and we're all trying to get the top grades because we think if we get the top grades, then we're going to get the best job.
Mm.
And if there was say we're in an industry where there was a company that it was the best company to work for, you know, you get the best pay, the best opportunities, the advancement, everyone's trying to get the best grades to get into this company. And so everyone's fighting against each other, comparing, competing, maybe cheating, maybe even if it got really bad, sabotaging each other, which is what you see in the world around you, right?
Mm.
But what if you're already working in that company and you just want to improve yourself? You could be in the same class, but you've already got what everyone's
longing for,
trying to work for.
Yeah.
And if you go a step further, what if it was your father's company and it's your inheritance? The whole company is your inheritance. You're already seated on the board.
Mm.
And you come into the class. Mm. It's like, to use a Bible, you're in the class, but you're not of the class. You know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Yeah.
And so while everyone else is comparing, competing, you might help each other. You might help other people. You might be looking at, you know, how you can, maybe who are the right people for to work, you know, to take the company forward. Mm. So it's a completely different mindset. You're no longer striving and comparing, competing. Mm. You already have what everyone's working for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for me that really helped, that God has already given me. I'm a child of God. I'm seated in heavenly places.
Yeah.
He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, it's that I've got this inheritance in heaven that I don't have to fight for. Jesus did all the work for it.
Mm.
And now I'm adopted and born into God's family. So there's that sense of everything I was trying to work for before, I already have. It's almost like sometimes you see the world like a hierarchy or a ladder you're trying to climb.
Mm.
But no matter where you can get to the top of this ladder or this hierarchy, but we're in Christ, and Christ is above it all.
Mm. Yeah.
So no matter how much we strive or compete, whatever we try to get, we're trying to get to a place that's lower than what God gives us.
Yeah.
And for me, that really helped as a way of I don't know, just seeing it and seeing the way in which my identity is in Christ. I'm a child of God, and there's no other identity I can earn, fight for, compete for, compare against anyone else for. That's already above everything else.
Yeah.
So for me, that really helped.
Yeah, you know, that's such a solid foundation to work from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything changes and it's more peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, being confident in exactly what God called you to do. And honestly, I recognize, of course, everything you say in my own context. You know, trying to do so well, trying to be the best at what you do. But when all those things just fade away, when you're stuck in your own doing.
Yeah.
I remember that giving into the fact that I tried so many things for, and that God didn't really even ask it from me, was maybe the biggest loss in my heart that I had to admit to, you know. Trying to stop trying to be the superhero. What's your worth and value when all these things are gone? And honestly, I think that so many Christians are still, because if you're in that race to compete, giving in and stopping that race feels like failing. And but I remember somewhere deep down inside, there was always this still small voice that told me something's not right. You're running and you're trying to achieve, but it's never working. And if it's working, you think you are the guy that made it happen. And then when bad things happen, you are also the guy that made those things happen. You know, that's when you're on the earning side. And you're struggling with guilt, shame, condemnation, sin. And I look around and there's people in the world that are not even aware of sin. And they're living a free life, you know. And here I am trying to earn everything I do, trying to feel okay. And I realize Jesus and the covenant, the new covenant, the new identity should be my plus, you know, but here I am struggling. And that's where I really knew something's off. It's just not, I'm missing out. And so I really recognize your journey. And, but I also know the other side, coming to that point of surrender, that I think so many of our listeners and people that watch feel like, do I have to admit that so many things I did for nothing, you know? Well, the beauty of it is that I think that God works together all things for good for the one that loves Him. And even the years you've been trying and working and deserving, He was there. He's seen you. But it's not not the highway, you know? There's a greater way. And I've been thinking of what the Bible says in Deuteronomy, there's blessing and there's curse. Now you choose. So there's deserving and trying to earn, and there's trying to be the best or trying to trust me for what I've done for you. And I remember thinking, is this really true? Is it really possible? And well, I think we have a choice. Because as you shared earlier with me, it comes down to what you believe that makes the difference. That will change your circumstance. It's on the inside. Could you take us a bit on your thoughts about that?
I completely see what you're saying. And I got to say, you said, you know, you talk about all things work together for good. I thank God now that God took me through that pain, because if I was still striving for everything, and it's still up to me, like, I'm a pastor of a church now, I don't know how I could handle it. In fact, I don't think I could handle it.
Well, honestly, sometimes when I look at you, I'm really impressed. I'm like, how does this guy handle everything? Because there's so many things going on all the time, man.
But for me, it's like, Jesus said, I will build my church. And so I'm like, okay, Jesus, you build your church. I'm here for the ride, you know. And of course, you do everything you need to do. But I don't think I'd be able to do what I can do, what I do now, if I didn't go through that. But at the same time, you know, I look at what it says in Galatians chapter 3, I think it is, the beginning of chapter 3, where Paul's talking to the Galatians, and you know, there's times when he talks to the Corinthians who are sinning. You know, the sin is pretty, it sounds pretty intense. And he's guiding them to what Jesus did, and talking to them about really the gospel. But when it comes to the Galatians, he's like, you foolish Galatians. You know, I read in one version, it's like translated, you idiots. But he says the reason that they're foolish is because he said, how did you receive the Spirit? Was it by your works? Was it by the works of the law? Or was it by believing the message?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it by working or was it by believing? He said, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, which is by believing.
Yeah.
So living by means of the Spirit is not about what you do, it's about what you believe. So he says, you began by means of the Spirit, by believing. Are you now trying to complete it by means of the flesh?
Mm.
And he's saying means of the flesh, but he's saying works of the law is the flesh. You know, we're talking before about the Bible talks about acts of the flesh, but fruit of the Spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't say acts of the flesh and acts of the Spirit.
It's not about behavior.
No, it's about what you believe. Yeah. And then that has a fruit.
Yeah.
So there's a fruit of your, if when you believe right, there's a fruit to that.
Mm.
It's not about behaving your way into it. And I just keep coming back to those foundations of it's receiving a gift from God. It's not earning it, because we can't earn it. If we get what we deserve, we're in trouble.
There we go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to get what we deserve?
Well, not me. No thanks.
And, you know, honestly, we're so deep in such a good conversation. Yeah. We're going to quickly go to part two because we have lots more to share about. But for now, I want to thank you guys. And thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. And our prayer is that you'll have that same surrender moment. And if you feel resistant, it is because maybe you're trying to work so hard. And we pray that you will find a way just to surrender to the will of Jesus. Thank you guys for watching. We pray for you and God bless you.
Tot zover deel 1 van Identiteit. Heb je genoten, vragen of een gebedsverzoek? Stuur het naar info@goandtell.nl. Volgende week staat deel 2 voor je klaar. Tot die tijd kun je ons altijd volgen via de socials en natuurlijk onze Simply Jesus app.